Thank you, Betty Harp. Thank you, children. You blessed us much this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is using you to point us to the great truth of Christ and his love, that he would come to a manger stall to make that his throne, that he would come to rescue his people. Thank you all so much for playing a part and bringing worship and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your scriptures, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 890. I want to, as you're turning there, I thank you all for praying for me. I do have a splint cast on. The surgery went well. It must have been a little bit more cutting than they planned. I didn't know I was going to have a cast on, but I'll have it on until the 27th, so sadly you'll see this at Christmas Eve, so, but it's okay. It's all good. It gives me an excuse not to wear a suit jacket, so it's all good. As you're turning there as well, just a note of prayer that you can put on for the R.C. Sproul family. As many of you know, R.C. Sproul is a great theologian, a great pastor, a great leader in the Christian church here and abroad. When he was in Ligonier Ministries, he would preach here at this pulpit many, many times. So many of you know him. He went to be with the Lord this week. He has a wonderful ministry. He moved it from Ligonier down to Florida, and it's gone out and his teaching materials, his lectures, his videotapes, his radio show has impacted countless thousands, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people. To come to an awareness of God is so holy and transcendent, yet so gracious and merciful, and it all meets at the cross of Jesus Christ, and that in his sovereignty he saves people. He rescues people, those whom he loved, and he was a champion for many causes, the authority of God's word, of being saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He was a true champion. But pray for not him, because he's in the presence of God now, rejoicing and seeing the holiness of God as he's preached upon many times. But pray for his wife, pray for his family and the transition for them in the coming days. Again, if you have your scriptures, we're in John 5, verses 1 to 8. Let's pray before we begin. Father, it's been a beautiful morning of worship as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, Christ's first coming. Lord, I pray it would prepare us for his second coming. It would be people who would be ready, people who are united to him through faith. Lord, I pray this morning as we go through this text and we think about rest and what that means, that your spirit would speak to our hearts and our minds, that we would find such rest, such joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to bring wholeness, newness, forgiveness, covering. So Lord, we pray that you bless the preaching of your word. Help us to focus, that when we hear it, we hear you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we'll look at John 5, verses 1 to 18. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been there invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he had been already there for a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. It's unlawful. It's not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. This ends the reading of God's word. May he bless it this morning. As we begin this morning, we begin with a question you can answer to yourselves. If you could have anything for Christmas this year, what would it be? Of all of the things that lie in front of you and what's out in front of you and the choices that you have, what would you want for Christmas? Usually we want something that will make our lives more enjoyable, maybe a little easier, a little restful, maybe a home appliance, something for the kitchen, maybe a smartphone, maybe a laptop. And if you're like me, as you know, as you get these things, they normally don't make life more easier or restful, just more busy and busy and busy. I wonder if any of you this morning, when I asked the question, if you could have anything for Christmas, you said rest. I just wish I could have rest. Holistic rest. Rest that knowing that there's a God above it all. A God who overcomes all. And a God who offers living hope. At Christmas time, we sing a song called "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen." I believe it's the song we will close with this morning. It says, "God rest ye, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us from Satan's power when we have gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy." Rest. Rest from sin, rest from guilt, rest from worry, rest from death. In Matthew 11, Jesus, as he's talking, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls." This morning we see Jesus bringing rest to this man on the day of rest, the Sabbath, showing that he's full of compassion, that he's full of mercy, that he wants to bring you, his people, rest physically and spiritually. This morning Jesus is the true God who gives eternal, holistic rest. Place your trust and confidence in him. Place your trust and confidence in him. We'll look at 5 points this morning. The first one, Jesus comes to his people to bring physical rest. Jesus comes to his people to bring physical rest. Your body is important. If you have your scriptures, let's look at verses 1 to 3. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. And these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. We're at a location where people are looking for mercy. They're looking for remedy. They're looking for rest. We have now left the region of Canaan in the northern part. We're back in Jerusalem. We're not sure what feast this is. John typically says, but not in this one. They're at a certain feast, and they're at a pool called Bethesda. It has many different names, but Bethesda means house of mercy. House of mercy, and it is by the sheep gate. It is a large two-pole complex. It's by the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem. Prior to the 19th century, they never found this pole, and they thought it didn't exist. They thought it was incorrect, that the Bible was wrong in this point to talk about this pole, but in the 19th century, archaeologists discovered it. And the remains of the pole that they found there match the description in John's Gospel. Just giving credence one more time. Anytime archaeology finds something, it affirms what the scriptures say. One commentator, when it talks about the pool and the purpose of this pool, it says, in Jesus' day, there was a small opening in the north wall of the temple. The sheep were washed in this pool and were taken to the sanctuary. The sheep that were coming to be brought in for sacrifice, people would wash them in this pool. And the amazing thing is that invalids, paralyzed and blind, would come to this pool thinking that this pool that was used for the washing of animals would bring healing. Imagine sheep, dusty, dirty, smelling, being washed in this pool of water. And those who needed mercy, those who needed rest, those who needed hope, for some reason thought if they could just get into that water, they would become well. Because of the reason these animals were coming and washing, most people would avoid this pool. They wouldn't want to come near it because they would become unclean. But our scripture makes clear, Jesus came near. Jesus didn't avoid it. They were looking for mercy, and Jesus goes there to bring this man who was paralyzed for 38 years to bring him rest. Jesus cares for your body. He cares for your aches and pains. This is why we pray to God for healing. And sometimes he answers, and sometimes he will give you relief now. And we experience a body that can heal itself. He's been so kind and gracious. But because of his resurrection, know this, that one day that body that is so sore, that is so hurting, will not hurt anymore. There's a day coming. But Jesus comes to bring you physical rest. We won't go off into eternity as these just ghosts and just bodiless souls forever and ever. No, your body will be resurrected. It will be glorified. It will be made whole. You will run. You will jump. You will leap. Jesus here, as he comes in his first advent and his first coming, demonstrates his authority, demonstrates his power, and he will bring rest to this man of 38 years. And know that Jesus cares for you. He cares for your body. Whatever you're fighting, he will make well, either now or in the future. He will bring you rest. The second point we see in this text, that Jesus comes to bring rest from false hopes and anxieties. Jesus comes to bring rest from false hopes and anxieties. We'll begin at verse 5 through 9. One man was there who had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm going, another one steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up. Take up your bed, walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Jesus comes to bring rest from false hopes and anxieties. This man, looking for mercy for 38 years, was there. He was an invalid, most likely some kind of paralysis. What's his hope? Why is he coming there? He assumes that this stirring of the water, somehow when it's stirred, that if he gets in it, somehow he will be miraculously healed. Some manuscripts talk about an angel. They believed an angel would stir the water. And if I could just be the first one, because that angel stirred the water, I can just be made well. Sounds silly. Sounds like a scam. To think if I just see that water move because an angel touched it, I could just get there. If I'm the first one, I'll be healed. But when you're in a situation looking for rest, when you're looking for relief, when you're looking for mercy, you'll try anything. Think of all the things you have tried to find rest, or your friends have tried to find rest. Jesus saw him there, and he knew he'd been there for a long time, and he asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Seems like a silly question. Maybe Jesus just wants him to verbalize it. Maybe he wants to be sure that this man wants to be healed. Some of us want to be like we are. We want to remain status quo. This is good enough. I don't want to change. Jesus is saying, do you want change? Do you want relief? Do you want rest? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another one steps down before me." This man believed all these years, if I could just get in that pool first, I'll get healed. Think of the emotional roller coaster. He would be laying there and seeing the water move. Maybe it was the springs that are filling the pool, making the water move. He would see it. He'd look around. Did anybody else see that? And then he would try to work his way down, or he would say, "Hey, buddy, help me get down to this pool." And you have a little bit of moment of hope as well. He's getting there, but he sees someone getting closer, and this other individual somehow gets in that pool. He thinks he lost his chance. The water moves. He has hope. He tries to get there, and someone beats him, and it's psychologically feeding. I can't get rest. All for something that promised false hope. But Jesus responds, "Get up. Take up your bed and walk." And at once this man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. A man who was invalid for 38 years was healed. Muscles that didn't move for 38 years. Ligaments that didn't move for 38 years. No rehab needed. He took up his bed and he walked. Jesus comes to this man, gets rid of the false hopes of things that can't bring relief and rest, gets rid of his anxieties that no one loves him or cares for him, and he gives him healing. We can't be putting our hopes in things that can't deliver. Jesus loves his people. Jesus loves you, and he wants to give you rest. He says, put your confidence, put your faith, put all of who you are in me, and I will give you rest. Jesus brings rest from false hopes and false anxieties. The third thing we see, Jesus comes to bring rest from false judgment and accusations. Jesus comes to his people to bring rest from false judgment and accusations. In verse 10 of your text, right before that, it says, "Now the day was the Sabbath." So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in that place. Jesus comes to bring rest from false accusations and judgment. This man has been healed. He is carrying his mat. Jesus told him to, but the religious leaders of the community thought, "Oh no, it's the Sabbath. You're carrying a bed. How dare you?" We're talking about the Sabbath. It was a day to rest, and work was forbidden in Scripture. And the idea of work was the idea of one's customary employment, that what you depended to bring in on income. It wasn't this huge list of laws and regulations of you can't do this, 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 and if you do it, boy, are you in trouble. It doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. You have the tradition of the elders at that time. They came up with 39 classes of work that you weren't allowed to do on the Sabbath. And one of them, you weren't allowed to carry something from one place to another. They saw this man carrying something. How dare you? What are you doing? You're carrying something on the Sabbath. And the man responds, the man who made me well said to take up my mat and walk. He healed me. I was hurting for 38 years and I can walk. And he said, take it up. I'm going to listen to him. It's amazing the people had no concern for the miracle. He had no concern that the healing that this man received was so restful for him on this day. The rest, they were just worried about the traditions that they made. Jesus could have easily avoided this controversy. He could have healed him the day before. He could have healed him the day after. But on the Sabbath, a day that was meant for rest, he said, today you will be healed. And he gives them rest. Jesus is demonstrating that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the God who brings rest. He and he alone. And no matter what people say to this man has rest. And he will follow. When we live our lives, when we follow Christ, it must be a following of Jesus. Not traditions of our parents, not traditions of churches, but what Jesus says in his word. And no matter what charge somebody may bring against you, you are free indeed in Christ. Jesus comes to bring rest from false accusations and judgments. He healed me. He gave me forgiveness. I will follow him. Yeah, my life's not all together. Yeah, I don't have everything figured out, but I am humbly walking before God. He has forgiven me for all my sins. I will follow him, and I am his. And no one will snatch me from his hand. Jesus brings rest from false accusations. The fourth thing we see is Jesus comes to bring rest in order that we may truly live. Jesus comes to bring rest in order that we may truly live. Look at verse 14. This is so important. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. This man discovered Jesus, that he was merciful, that he was powerful, that he's full of truth, and now he's seeing that he is Lord and Savior. Jesus goes and he finds him and he says, see, you're well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. When we go off the rails, when we get away from the commandments of God, sin will destroy our relationships and can bring physical harm. Now, not all of our ailments are caused by a direct personal sinful action, but sometimes they are. Sometimes the choices that we make, sometimes the choices you make can have devastating consequences for the rest of your life. And Jesus says, I want you to live. I want you to flourish. Go sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. You may be out there thinking you can find rest and peace in drugs, rest and peace in drinking, rest and peace in sexual morality, stealing, eating, whatever it is, whatever idol you're setting up for yourself where you think it's going to deliver and bring rest, he's saying, stop it. Follow my ways. If not, something worse may happen to you. It's not that he's trying to rob you of joy. When he says, don't do these things, he wants you to live a restful, joyful life. He says, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Yes, you can be forgiven, but sin has consequences and it can be long-lasting effects. Jesus has mercy. He says, stop playing with dynamite called sin. It's not worth it. It can really, really hurt you. Jesus comes to bring rest that we may truly live. And our last point for this morning, Jesus won't stop till your rest is complete. Jesus won't stop till your rest is complete. In verse 15, they went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Because of people's misunderstanding of the Sabbath and the nature of God, they wanted Jesus dead. Even though Jesus is doing plenty of signs and miracles authenticating that he is the Son of God, you better listen to him. Because of pride and the sin of their hearts and their traditions, they wanted Jesus dead. Jesus is starting to develop an understanding of God as triune, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is as much God as the Father, which we will flesh out in the weeks ahead. Jesus is equal with the Father. And it says, Jesus says, the Father has been working and I am working to bring my people rest. Jesus, the Son of Mary, the Son of the Carpenter, is God in the flesh, and I will bring you rest. You may think you're going to kill me, but nothing is going to stop me. This plan has been in place since before the foundation of the world. I've made a covenant redemption. My Father has chosen the people. I will lay my life down for the people, and the Spirit of God will apply the benefits of those great blessings to their hearts and their minds, and nothing will stop me. Though the persecution is starting to come, Jesus won't quit. He won't be stopped. He came for you. He came for his people. He came for his sheep and to give you rest. Romans 8 says, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. No tribulation, no distress, no persecution, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. He will make your rest final and complete. It can be experienced today. Today we have the first fruits of something marvelous. He says, behold, I am making all things new. I have come to give my people physical rest. I have come to bring them rest from their anxieties and false hopes. I have come to bring them rest from false accusations. I have come to bring them rest to forgive them of their sins, to tell them to sin no more, and I will complete it. And it can start today by just saying, Jesus, in your gospel, I see you're making things new. You brought in a kingdom that is changing lives, changing hearts, changing minds of sin and wickedness to joy, to rest, to peace, and I want to follow you. The song says, God rest you, merry gentlemen. God rest you. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save you from Satan's power when you have gone astray. Rest. He says, come to me. All you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. What he started, he will complete. This morning I call you, Jesus is the true God who gives eternal, holistic rest, body and soul. Place your trust and confidence in him this Christmas, today and every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we are a people who need rest. We have fears, we have anxieties, we have guilt, we have frustration, we have anger, we have hurts. Jesus, you've come and entered this world to deliver us all from them. Sometimes this is just hard to believe. But Lord, your Spirit is powerful. Lord, I pray if there's one who just doesn't know, that they would just be honest and open, then they would say, show me. And you would reveal yourself to their hearts and their minds, that you would awaken them to a reality of living hope. Forgive us, Lord, for getting off track, trying to find rest in the things of the world, the good things that you've given us, and we set them up as idols. Give us rest. Rest for our bodies, rest for our souls. We thank you, Jesus, that you did not stop. You did not quit. You went all the way. Lord, we thank you. We exalt your name. We pray. Amen.